Good evening. As you are able, would you please stand and join in the call to worship? God welcomes you with compassion.
We become aware of our sins, of all the ways we miss the mark.
God surrounds you with grace and forgiveness, reconciling you to God and one another.
We come longing for restoration, to be made new.
God embraces you with love, reuniting us with God and one another.
We come thirsting for reconciliation, to draw close to God and one another.
Our opening hymn this evening is Lord, Who Without These 40 Days, will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. It's number 269 in the hymnal and on the screens. Seated. The scripture reading this evening comes from Psalms chapter 51. Have mercy on me, God, according to your faithful love. Wipe away my wrongdoings according to your great compassion. Wash me completely clean of my guilt. Purify me from my sin. Because I know my wrongdoings, my sin is always right in front of me. I've sinned against you, you alone. I've committed evil in your sight. That is why you are justified when you render your verdict, completely correct when you issue your judgment. Yes, I was born in guilt, in sin, from the moment my mother conceived me. And yes, you want truth in the most hidden places. You teach me wisdom in the most secret space. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and celebration again. Let the bones you crushed rejoice once more. Hide your face from my sins. Wipe away all my guilty deeds. Create a clean heart for me, God. Put a new, faithful spirit deep inside me. Please don't throw me out of your presence. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Return the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me with a willing spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Mm-hmm. The United Methodist Church and its predecessor denominations did not acknowledge an official observance of Ash Wednesday until the General Conference voted to update the 1992 Book of Worship to include this service. Ash Wednesday, though, has been a long-standing tradition within the Catholic, Anglican, and Lutheran churches for centuries before other Protestants started observing it. I grew up in the Catholic Church, so it has always been a part of my faith practice. But some of you have only participated perhaps in the last 30 years or less. So, why did Ash Wednesday become part of our tradition? The UMC states, Ash Wednesday emphasizes two themes, our sinfulness before God and our human mortality. The service focuses on both themes, helping us realize that both have been triumphed through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, that answers the question about why the United Methodist Church observes Ash Wednesday. But why did we come to this service today? We each have our own answer to that question. However, in general, Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. So we come to acknowledge our need for a Savior due to our sin, which I like to say is our selfishness in nature. We come to humble ourselves before the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to continue a good work in us as we walk through this season of Lent together. Also, to address the themes identified by the United Methodist Church of sinfulness and mortality, as we offer repentance, the Lord offers reconciliation. You see, our sin and selfishness disrupts our relationship with God, just as our relationship with others is impacted by our offenses with them. Repentance and reconciliation are the pillars of a genuine relationship built on grace, mercy, and love. So to prepare us for Lent, I want to look at Psalm 51, or at least these 12 verses, which is attributed to David as a response to his great sin of adultery. Reading his words, I can't help but notice David's vulnerability and the intimacy of his relationship with the Lord. David's words speak to his genuine faith as he offered repentance and sought reconciliation with his Lord and Savior. What can we learn from David? How do we respond with genuine faith? Well, we must first realize that faith isn't about rules or rituals. We can be careful to follow rules and be devoted to various practices, yet our response still not be genuine. Listen to David's words again and notice what he highlights. David cried out, "Have mercy on me, God, according to your faithful love. Wipe away my wrongdoings according to your great compassion. Wash me completely clean of my guilt. Purify me from my sin." Did you hear what David cried? He praised the Lord's character of mercy, love, compassion, and even holiness. David shared from the depth of his heart what he knew of the Lord. At the same time, David also knew, according to the law, he could bring a sacrifice to the Lord for his sins, and by rule, he would be restored with God and community. But that wasn't enough for David, because his faith wasn't based on the law. It was about his relationship with the Lord. That's the kind of faith we need to have. Genuine faith begins with a real relationship. Too often, Christians forego a relationship with Jesus and instead operate from the perspective that through Jesus, their sins are already covered.
by their faith. This attitude of faith is transactional in nature, not relational. Genuine faith is always relational. When we experience faith from a relational perspective, we recognize that we play a part in this faith story. And part of that is seeing and owning our failures. David acknowledged to the Lord, "Because I know my wrongdoings, my sin is always right in front of me. I've sinned against you, you alone. I've committed evil in your sight. That's why you are justified when you render your verdict, completely correct when you issue your judgment. And yes, I was born in guilt and sin from the moment my mother conceived me. And yes, you want truth in the most hidden places. You teach me wisdom in the most secret space." From the time we are born, we choose ourselves as the center of our universe. However, also at birth, God's grace pursues us in many ways through various people and situations to make us aware of our selfishness and of God's love for us. Repentance is acknowledging God's love and turning toward God, proclaiming God is indeed the center of our lives, not us. The reality we discover in our real relationship with Jesus is that repentance is not a one-time thing. We continually wrestle with going our way or the Lord's way. And in response of genuine faith, we actively confess our selfishness. So whether it is our conscience or the Holy Spirit prompting us, we know when we choose us over God and others. And so does God. There's no hiding our missteps. David understood this, and I think we do too. Choosing us is a hard habit to break. But we can break it as we pay attention to the prompts and we confess. Another word for faith is confidence. Because we know the Lord personally and know the Lord's character of love and grace and mercy and compassion and holiness, we can be confident in our faith in Christ when we confess our sins. David expressed his confidence when he shared, "Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and celebration again. Let the bones you crushed rejoice once more. Hide your face from my sins. Wipe away all my guilty deeds." It is true that Jesus has covered all sin with his suffering and death on the cross. He has swallowed up our sin and doesn't hold it over our heads. Jesus wants to restore our relationship with him. That's who he is. So through genuine faith, we experience forgiveness that reconciles. Sin doesn't rule our life when we bring our baggage to the Lord. Jesus frees us from this weight of guilt by offering us forgiveness. We can trust that this offer is real and that our relationship with Jesus isn't tainted or stained. Rather, we can rejoice in our reconciled life with Christ, which gives us the strength and the guidance to reconcile any relationships that our sins may have ruptured as well. Notice how our selfishness is what disrupts our relationships with God and others. But it is our dependence on the Lord that can restore them. David prayed for the Lord to strengthen his dependence, praying, "Create a clean heart for me, God. Put a new faithful spirit deep inside me. Please don't throw me out of your presence. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Return the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me with a willing spirit." Sometimes it can be hard for us to fully embrace God's grace through Jesus Christ. We can doubt our sins can be forgiven. We can convince ourselves we don't deserve to be restored. These are all lies that pull us away from the Lord's love. Prayers like David's can help us to lean into the Lord's love, reminding us of all that the Lord gives us. Seeking the Lord with genuine faith, it sustains us. Our strength and our joy is truly in the Lord. So why did we come here? My prayer is that we came to express our genuine faith, recognizing our capacity for being selfish and Jesus' capacity to create a clean heart and a new faithful spirit in us. We come because we know through repentance we experience reconciliation. So as people desiring genuine faith, let's take advantage of this season of Lent to deepen our relationship with the Lord. Let's be honest with ourselves and with Jesus. Receive the forgiveness given through Christ's suffering and be sustained by the Lord's love throughout it all. Friends, God's love is steadfast. The Lord is ready to hear, forgive, and reconcile all who come to Him in humility. So come. Amen.
Our response hymn this evening is More Love to Thee, O Christ. It's number 453. We'll be singing verses 1 through 3.
Now let us join together in a prayer of confession
and allow it to be something that comes from deep within your heart with genuine faith. On this first day of Lent, we pause, look within, and examine our consciences.
Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
Where we have neglected prayer, been apathetic in worship, found reasons to avoid generosity, or lacked compassion.
Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
Where we have colluded in the oppression of those who become invisible in their suffering and ignored on the streets.
Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
Where anxiety has eroded the gift of your peace, and where we have cared too much about what others think.
Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
As Lent begins, know that God understands how we struggle to stay open and compassionate. The invitation is not to focus on our inadequacies, but on God's gift of grace and love, which transforms our hearts and minds. That gift is given to us again, here and now. Be encouraged.
Sustain in us, O God, a willing spirit to return to the joy of our salvation as we journey together through the season of Lent.
Amen.
And now as we begin to prepare for our imposition of ashes, which will be at the very end, we'll have a thanksgiving over the ashes, and then we will have a closing hymn before we send us forth and to receive the ashes, and we'll receive them at the door as you exit in the middle. So let us pray over these ashes. Eternal God, you created us from the dust of the earth, and to dust we one day return. As these ashes are placed on our foreheads, let them be a catalyst to draw us back to you.
Bless us with your steadfast love, for you are slow to anger, and rejoice when the lost are found. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn this evening is Lord, I Want to Be a Christian, verses 1, 2, and 4. It's number 402. And if you would like to stand, I think that would be a good idea.
Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart.
who created from dust, held together by God's extravagant love, we turn away from sin and leave today embracing God's love. Go in peace as you exit today and receive the ashes. Amen.